Hello and welcome to the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Newdecker. So today I will be covering the topic weight maintenance, which is a really big in-depth topic, so I'm excited to cover it. And it is the second episode of the mini series, which I'll be releasing a new episode each week, however episode number 39 now overall. So we will get started. So weight maintenance is such an important topic for people because people always focus on the fat loss phase when they embark upon a diet. However, it's the diet after the diet that is so integral in terms of long-term success. Because if you took part in a diet and then you lost a certain amount of weight, and then after the diet you regained that weight, you have to really ask yourself, was the diet actually successful? So the statistics for weight regain after diets are particularly bad, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard the statistic from the study McLean et al, which is that 5% of diets have a success rate. So in the first year after the weight loss period, nearly 80% of people will have relapsed to their pre-diet weight, and then 2 years after that, 85% have relapsed to their pre-diet weight, and then 3 years, 95% have relapsed. So it's really that 5% that we are going to focus on, and it's not all doom and gloom. However, we can focus on the things that do make this successful. So I'm going to be talking today about the characteristics of the 5% that do succeed in terms of weight maintenance. And in this is going to be certain language that might be a little bit tricky in terms of talking about metabolic rate, also metabolic adaptation. Now, I've actually got another podcast that covers metabolic adaptation really in depth, and it's number 28. It's called Do You Really Have a Slow Metabolism? And if you would like to learn a little bit more about metabolic adaptation and the hormones involved in it and what is it actually the constituents of our TDEE, so our total daily energy expenditure. If you want to learn more about that, then head over to that one there, but I will get started. So let's start talking about that 5% success rate. So diets overall on Instagram, social media, everywhere, of course we can see that there are unsustainable diets in terms of rapid weight loss, and diets that may not be beneficial for people long term. So that 5% success rate, it's really focusing on what is sustainable for people long term. Now that might actually be for some people a period of rapid weight loss with the correct support. So let's focus on those characteristics of the 5% that succeed. So one of the main things that helps people succeed after a fat loss period is having some sort of cognitive restraint after the dieting period. So depending on what method you used, whether that was tracking, flexible dieting, counting calories, portion control, low carb diets, windows of eating, so fasting, these are all types of cognitive restraints, and even mindful eating can be used as a way of restraint. So not talking about intuitive eating as such, mindful eating and restraining the reactions you have to hunger and fullness so that you can adjust your eating to your results that are desired. So this is a characteristic of people that do succeed in terms of keeping the weight off. So when we embark on a diet, that's why it's really important to ask yourself, is this something that I can adjust my lifestyle to for the long term? Now, a calorie deficit isn't a long-term solution. You're not going to have to be in a calorie deficit forever. That isn't sustainable. That isn't realistic. However, if you are using methods to aid that calorie deficit that aren't going to be helpful for you long-term, then it's time to assess that. So I'm talking about very low-calorie diets, for example, without a get-out plan or without the support afterwards or the expertise that you have about nutrition. I'm talking about very low carb diets in a world that carbohydrates, high fat foods, highly palatable foods are omnipresent. So you're really testing yourself long term to be able to do that for a long amount of time. So really making sure that that diet is going to be building habits that are going to support you long term, which is really important. So that is a big factor in that 5% of people who succeed. Then there's the monitoring. So these are things that I recommend to clients when they finish a fat loss phase, is making sure that you're still monitoring your weight, whether that's on the scales. If you're not a fan of the scales, perhaps using measuring tapes. If you're not a fan of using measuring tapes, perhaps using pictures, perhaps keeping a note of how your clothes feel. However, a numerical gauge is going to be more helpful for you in terms of what's going to be beneficial and what's easiest. But I understand that's not for everyone. So monitoring is another really important part of it. So whether you do that on a weekly basis, bi-monthly, every month, just making sure that things are staying consistent. Now, that brings me on to as well, what to expect when you start to raise your calories, for example, after a fat loss phase. So you may well find that the scale will go up by 1 to 2 kilos, a few pounds, and that is going to be things like the increase in glycogen in your muscles, food in transit. You may also have improved performance in the gym. You might then therefore have more muscle damage, so there's a little bit more water retention. So this is to be expected after the fat loss phase. When you go back to normal calorie intake or energy intake, that's to be expected. It's nothing to panic about. However, that's why the monitoring is so important, because we want to make sure that that does tail off over time. So if it does carry on increasing, we know that the calorie intake is incorrect for your needs and things need to be adjusted. So this is really why the monitoring is so important. So another characteristic of the 5% that do succeed is that they carry on exercising regularly. So whether that is cardiovascular activity or weight training, sports, walking, people are staying active, and that is what is helping keeping that weight off. So like with a lot of the content that I put out, it's really about finding exercise that you enjoy. Of course, weight training has a multitude of different benefits. However, I understand it's not for everyone. So finding something that you like, that you're going to go back to do each week and do consistently, is what is super important. Another factor that the 5% had is that they had support around them, whether that was a coach, family that supported them, friends that supported them, or even like a community. And that's something to be said for example, the CrossFit community, or even, dare I say it, I know it's not great, Weight Watchers, Slimming World. People get together and they support each other. So that's probably one of the only things that's good about Weight Watchers and Slimming World. Hope I don't get a lawsuit from that. That is one of the only good things about the various community-based fat loss clubs that are about, without naming names. So support is key. So if you have a support network around you that perhaps isn't that supportive in terms of you keeping your portion control in check, making sure that you are eating a balanced diet still, and also keeping the activity going, then that is something to assess as well. I'm not saying you need to kick people out of your life, but I'm saying just make sure you have the chats with them to make sure they are supportive of it. So there are many other things that do help that 5% succeed. However, it's not all doom and gloom. And I think on social media is a lot of the anti-diet content that is around does say diets don't work. And then we've got people saying all diets work. And that's not necessarily true. I'm a coach that is a strong believer in that there's a lot more nuance to things than just blank statements. And it's actually somewhere in the middle. It's possible, from my own anecdotal evidence with clients, it is possible to lose weight long term. It's just really difficult, you know. And it's not just about shouting it's just a calorie deficit at people, because there's a lot more things that contribute to it. So you may find after a dieting period that you have increased appetite. And this is something that I speak about a lot in my podcast number 28. So this is due to a leptin response that can be affected after a long-term dieting phase, or perhaps very rapid fat loss, for example. So leptin is like your thermostat hormone. So it adjusts the amount of fat that you have in your body. So if, for example, you have a something called a body fat set point where you sit healthily and that is where you have high energy, that's where you perform well in the gym, that's where you find it easiest to maintain weight, your leptin response may actually try to protect that a little bit. However, you can adjust your lifestyle to fit around a new body fat set point. So this is covered a lot in the other podcast as well in terms of metabolic adaptation. However, it's really important that when we go to monitor our food intake, we are really keeping in line with what is the laws of thermodynamics, so calories in, calories out. So making sure you have that plan at the end of the dieting period is super, super important, whether you're tracking, counting calories, and how you organize that is it's really important that you have something to head towards when you finish, because a lot of times we've been dieting for a long time, the floodgates open when we finish and we want to just really enjoy ourselves, which we should be able to do. However, in terms of maintaining that weight loss that you've made, just making sure that you are keeping to a calorie goal can be really helpful, in combination with staying in tune with hunger signals can be beneficial as well. So how do you actually find those calorie goals when you finish? So what I mostly use with clients is the revised Harris-Benedict formula. And from that, you can Google search it and you can find out your maintenance calories to head towards. Take it with a pinch of salt because it's not going to be perfect. And the most important factor when you have these maintenance calories is to actually use trial and error, along with the monitoring of your scale weight and your measurements, for example. So you may well find you get the revised Harris-Benedict formula for your calorie intake for maintenance, and it might be a bit high, it might be a little bit low, and it's you can adjust that for yourself. However, it is pretty reliable, but just take it with a pinch of salt. So that's a good way of working that out post fat loss phase if you have been tracking calories. There's also something called reverse dieting. It's not something I use a lot with my clients because I don't think it's 100% necessary. That might come across as controversial to some in the fitness and nutrition industry. I just don't think it is that accessible for people to start slowly increasing their calories week to week. But that's because I mainly work with members of the general public. I don't necessarily work with people who are in physique contests, bodybuilding contests. Now, for athletes, for bodybuilders, maybe reverse dieting is actually a good route because they have been taking their calories down a lot lower and they really, really want to mitigate the fat gain past the fat loss phase. So I think the working with general public, they have different expectations about what's going to happen after the diet. So say they gain a couple pounds of fat, I think that wouldn't be necessarily the end of the world for them. However, if you are competing in physique competitions, maybe that is something that is more important to you. So reverse dieting is basically building your calories week by week to reach your maintenance calories. And it's supposed to build your metabolism up again. I don't think the effects of fat loss have the hugest amounts of detrimental effects to people's metabolism if they've been doing it in a sustainable way and have been taking some diet breaks. However, I understand for physique competitors, they might not have done that, so they might need to build up their metabolic rate again. So it's valid, reverse dieting is valid, but just for the types of people that I work with, not so valid. So that covers that point as well. So like I say, with the post-dieting phase, it's not all doom and gloom, as you may read. Yes, okay, the statistics aren't great. Like 5% success rate isn't ideal, but really focusing on what is in your control to make yourself successful post-dieting. It doesn't mean there's no point in dieting at all. It doesn't mean that all diets work. It's just actually a grey area in the middle with a bit of nuance, which is nowhere on social media, that actually, you know, it's down to the individual. It's down to the support for that individual. It's down to the nutritional know-how that that person has as well. So for the maintenance phase post dieting, I would say it's actually incredibly crucial, because we're very good at dieting. I think we're very good at getting the weight down and using willpower and getting our scale weight down. It's really afterwards that people really struggle. And I would say that is actually the most crucial point that a coach can help you in terms of giving you the support you need and making sure your calories are a good level, giving you the accountability, making sure that you get reassurance about when the scale weight does go up a little bit, and they can explain to you why that's happening. And also, of course, giving you the calorie goals. And counting calories isn't the be all and end all. Like I've said in podcasts before, you don't necessarily have to do it in terms of weight maintenance either. And there are other routes as well, just perhaps focusing more on mindful eating, focusing more on portion control. So it's not everything, but it is a numerical gauge, and it is a lot easier, I would say, sometimes. However, I know it's not for everyone. So to summarize everything that I've covered, the success rates in terms of diets aren't ideal. A lot of people relapse afterwards and also can gain more weight after the diet. However, there is a success rate of 5%, and the characteristics of that 5% is having some type of cognitive restraint after the dieting period. So whether that's tracking, portion control, adjusting how much you eat in terms of mindful eating, low carb, and also eating windows, fasting. It's also really important that you monitor your weight or your measurements, keep an eye on how your clothes feel. It's really important that you keep your activity up, keep exercising, do something you enjoy above all else so that you keep consistent with it, and have that support system around you, whether that's a coach, whether that's your friends, a community base, and also your family. So I really hope that helps. I know it's a really big topic and I've literally just scratched the surface on it. Please do listen to the other podcast, number 28, if you found this interesting. Give me feedback if there's anything else you would like me to cover or something you don't quite understand from today. Please do let me know. And I'll be releasing another podcast in the next week. So if you did like today's podcast, please do share, please do subscribe and rate. And thank you very much for listening.